TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox, lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Jason Oborn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the second hour, and welcome Nicola Charles on the other side of the microphone.
Hi, Jason. How are you doing?
I am fired up today. There is so much going on.
I know you are.
And I tell you what.
I thought I'd start politely, because I know we're not going to be polite today, are we, Jason?
We will not be polite. And I tell you what, having Alexandra on in the last hour and just putting together, she, like you said yesterday, that the dots have joined themselves. Alexandra's able to weave these incredible narratives around the absolute nonsense that's going on. And it's kind of like sitting half in a process of education, like the world's best lecturer at university, and the other half being entertained at the same time, because you go, yes, yes, I get that. That makes sense. And that's what our job is to do here, is to try and make sense of the nonsensical, right?
Yeah, absolutely, totally. I too like to make sense of it and also be entertained, which is why I tend to use satire just to laugh at these people. I mean, none of it makes any sense, and yet we have to absorb it and stomach it every single day, and there's so much of it. And of course, it's usually centered around politics, which is a little frustrating. I'm starting to think politics is just this big game to keep our minds occupied. Do you know what I mean? So we don't do any critical thinking. That's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because it is all just theater. And as it keeps coming out, the idea of a uni party or a mono party, the idea that you get a choice, there is no choice. It's Hobson's choice.
But we already have
that.
They talk about one world government. I actually genuinely believe we're already existing under that. What they're doing is they're trying to bring us up to speed with what's already happened, clearly. I mean, they've got this, I posted it on my socials, the link to the World Economic Forum today, because, you know, in 6 days' time, the countdown has begun. Start the countdown. They're meeting again in Davos to decide what to do with the world for the next 12 months. I'm sorry, I didn't vote for any of you people. I don't want to do anything you tell me to do. You're a billionaire. How on earth do you know what's right for me down here in the trenches who had to go on Centrelink because of your rubbish pandemic? They have no clue, and I'm not interested. And I think they're in the process of breaking it to us that, too bad, so sad, they're in charge.
Well, I want to know who died and made Klaus Schwab CEO of Earth Incorporated. That's my first question.
I think that was Klaus Schwab himself.
That's the point. It's absolute insanity. And who is it that goes, oh yeah, I like this this guy from Switzerland and wherever he came from originally, Austria. I'm just going to sign up to that because he looks like he's got the power, and it seems that everyone else just goes along to get along with it. I saw a meme today that simply said, it was set on 16 different pictures at the Free Thought Project, and it said, imagine living through the past 3 years and still not being even a little bit suspicious. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, but it's this willful blindness, isn't it, that Aseem Malhotra, the British cardiologist, talks about. And I can sort of, you know, it's not nice and I don't want to, but I actually can sort of sympathize and empathize with that. God damn it, I'm an empath. because, you know, particularly if I had taken this jab, or if people I loved dearly, as have, taken this jab and I had it coursing through my veins, some of the stuff that is coming out now in the mainstream media would, you know, even if you weren't having adverse reactions, would make you feel sort of violently ill. And I would imagine afraid to go to sleep at night. That would be my fear, is that if I'd taken it, I would wonder every night when I go to bed, am I going to wake up tomorrow? And so they're not in an enviable position. But again, as I've said before, I still don't understand why they're not sort of on the streets screaming with banners, what have you done to us? We didn't agree to this.
This is the great question, isn't it? And there will be a point that that happens. And every day, like I read out in the first hour, a series of new deaths that appearing. I just please wake up. And there is solutions. We're talking to doctors on this station, on my show, that are doing research in how you can actually reverse the spike protein and how you can protect yourself using, would you believe, the very same therapeutics that we were talking about in the beginning as an alternate to taking the mRNA.
Yeah.
You can still take the same things. Yeah. And even Peter McCullough has said all along, and along with other doctors, that you might need to be taking ivermectin for the rest of your life. But I tell you what, it's virtually harmless. It's not horse paste, despite what they're telling you, and it'd be a fairly decent option for many people to be able to work out where or how they can actually survive this and get this poison out of their system. It's truly amazing. Now, we're going to get the news in a moment. Sorry to cut you off. We're going to get to the news in a moment. So, I want to introduce Sonia just in a second, but if you've missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. There's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
News reported fairly.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Sonia is back. You've got some big news because it just seems what happens to Donald Trump happens to Joe Biden. You got to fill us in. What's happening?
Thanks, Jason. So former US President Donald Trump, whose home we know was raided by the FBI last year over an alleged stash of classified documents, is now urging the same agency to go after his successor, being current United States President Joe Biden. So Trump says that classified documents were found at a Biden-linked think tank. And what I did find interesting about this is the documents have apparently only just been found in the last few weeks, but they're dated from when Biden was actually vice president from the 2017 to 2020 period. So it's kind of interesting the timing of them just suddenly having been unearthed at this time. And of course, you know me, Jason, I always have to ask, while this flag is being waved, where should we actually be looking?
Definitely, I agree with that. Well, you know, I honestly believe that the best form of defense is attack. So I think, as you said, this was happening when he was VP. Let's remember that when Biden was VP, he flew on Air Force Two with his son Hunter, who we now know is a completely stand-up guy, to Beijing for some VP shenanigans is what I hear about that trip. And I'm sure the Chinese government, the CCP, were extremely smart and videotaped everything that went on there. And so the fact that these documents hail back to the time that he was VP does not surprise me one iota. But going after Trump very shortly before the break, because they possibly knew and possibly had a whiff, right, that this was going to come out shortly after the break. As you rightly said, look over there. Don't look at here. It's Russian disinformation. It's this, it's that, you know. You know, it's all tied in. Like, you know, when they said it was Russian disinformation with the election and they got involved and that's why Hillary didn't get in. I will tell you this, I believe if Russia did get involved in that election, and I'm not saying I believe they did, I don't believe they did. But if they tried to, as I believe all sort of enemy states do in elections, then perhaps Vladimir Putin was trying to stave off exactly what is happening now, because he knew that it was Biden that was going to implement all of these changes and all of these agendas for the World Economic Forum. And perhaps he knew that Trump was going to delay it. So there's so much to this. It's like cheesecake.
There's
just piece after piece to this cheesecake, and it's all related.
And I do think that quite telling in regards to these documents having been found, you know, being attributed to having been in Biden's possession, is that the classified material was identified by personal lawyers for Biden who were in that office operating a think tank. And it was them who actually then turned those documents over to the US Department of Justice and notified the National Archives. So immediately my mind thinks, hold on, if a current sitting president has left what could be potentially very secure documents in a location that clearly hasn't been that secure, if it were his personal lawyers that came across them, wouldn't they immediately squirrel them away and decide what needs to be hidden and what needs to be exposed?
Yeah.
So yeah, I you immediately would imagine- think that these are exposed for a reason.
Yeah, because you would imagine attorney-client privilege, right? That's the first thing that came to mind when you reported this story. But then you've got to know, haven't you, that the federal laws regarding these classified documents and a presidency must supersede all attorney-client privilege, or something really dirty and nasty is coming down the pipe for Biden and they don't want any part of it. So they're cleaning their hands, cleaning shop, and that happens a lot, right?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And I think that what's also quite interesting is that the National Archives and his lawyers have stated, oh, but there's nothing nuclear related in any of this confidential paperwork that we can't tell you anything
That's
about.
A relief.
So I can't help but wonder, is Trump's request for Biden to be investigated, is that just tit for tat for what he's been through, or is this a genuine claim that really does need to be followed up?
Well, let me give you some icing on the cheesecake that we're talking about, because according to one report, Joe Biden is far from out of the woods, as it was reported that in a shocking move, Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed John Lausch, the US Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, to oversee this developing matter. And it was President Donald Trump who appointed John Lausch in 2017, and he has been tasked with investigating the discovery of documents at the Penn Biden Center, a think tank set up for the former VP of the university at the University of Pennsylvania, according to Fox News. And they're saying that the optics of the situation are nothing less than utterly humiliating for Biden and the White House, especially in the wake of the Justice Department raiding Mar-a-Lago, even though we knew that Trump could have and said that he already declassified all the documents. So for my take on it, they knew that this was already in the works. That's why they went for Mar-a-Lago in the first place. And I honestly believe that it was the fancy footwork of Jared Kushner that led them down that pathway to get them to raid it, because as we're learning, everything is optics in all of what's going on. It's a brilliant, brilliant story. And for the very first time, Biden has truly got egg on his face, because in a tit for tat, he's now the biggest loser in all of it. Great story, Sonia. We're going to talk about this more throughout the rest of the show. We're going to take a break right now and come back with the rest of what we're going to discuss. And I'll tell you what, Nicola, we're going to talk about bullying, and we're going to talk about one of our least favorite politicians, Dan Andrews. And I'm also going to take a shot at some of what Trump has said about the vaccine. And you at home will be able to call in from anywhere on Mother Earth and tell us your thoughts. This is the only place that you get to speak entirely freely and say what you think and mean what you say. This is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Greg Maybury is talking about.
We can just about pick any significant event in US history or history generally, and the accounts differing from the official narrative are at best dismissed by the media or relegated to the realm of conspiracy theory. We've heard this many times before. And so it is with the JFK assassination, the Vietnam War, the Six-Day War between Egypt and Syria and Jordan and Israel, the assassination of Martin Luther King, and the attempted sinking of a US Navy ship, the USS Liberty, by the Israeli Defense Forces. All of this happened throughout the 60s. What do these events have in common, apart from the fact that they all occurred around about the same era? One man, as it turns out, a former Texas school teacher turned politician turned US president by the name of Lyndon Baines Johnson. He plays the central role in instigating or covering up the real story behind a lot of these events. He was certainly instrumental in fostering the continued growth of the deep state, whereas his predecessor, JFK, who was assassinated, wanted to pare back this deep state, or what Dwight Eisenhower, JFK's predecessor, called the military-industrial complex.
The No-Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy
is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What was more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at salemnow.com.
Our lines are now open. Call Nicola Charles and Jason Oborne now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. TNT. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I hope you are putting those telephone numbers into your phone because you are going to want to give us a call, whether it's today, tomorrow, or next week, because there'll be something that you need to talk about. Nicola, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, there's a lot going on, isn't there, as usual. I do want to get onto those quotes by Trump about the vaccines, but just a couple of things sort of more close to home that are worrying me that I just want to put a little dot point in. I'm noticing, and I'm getting flooded by advertising material, that they are building what is apparently listed as the new gateway to Melbourne, and it is a new massive hundreds of millions of dollars worth of development of tiny, tiny little houses in Merrifield, and it is Mickleham adjacent. So you can put $5,000 down, just $5,000 of your peasant dollars, and you can be quarantine camp adjacent in Melbourne. So good luck with that one.
Gosh, that's frightening,
and
isn't it?
Isn't it? And Dan Andrews, because we do love a bit of Dan, don't we? Dan Andrews is putting the framework in place, and I believe he sent out some tenders. He's getting serious about it. He wants to get rid of the Mikey card system. Now, the Mikey card system works really well. It got rid of cash, so you would have thought Dan and his WEF friends would have been happy about that, where school children, students, anyone can just put money on a Mikey card and travel anywhere they want on public transport. Isn't this something they're supposed to be encouraging with us and the next generation? However, they're getting rid of it. They're finished. They're done with the Mikey card. Why? Because he wants the framework so that when you tap on and tap off, you're not tapping on and tapping off an anonymous Mikey card. Oh, no. You're tapping on and tapping off with first your bank card and soon to be your digital ID, which means what? There is no more anonymous private travel on public transport. They will know which station you got on at, where you sat, who you were sat next to. Gosh, you might have spoken to those one of those terrible conspiracy theorists, those tinfoil hatters while you're on the train, and the government needs to be alerted. So I think that's crazy. I think it's nuts. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the Mikey system works, and my kids use them to get to school. So that's happening. And also just wanted to highlight that a lady, and I didn't jot her name down, but she's the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, so she's quite important. And she headed off today to Davos for the World Economic Forum's next meeting in 6 days' time. Now, she's gone nice and early, so I'm a bit nervous about what she's going to be doing. She might be re-educated going over to the World Economic Forum, which starts their next massive summit that decides our lives in 6 days' time.
Yeah, gosh, there's so much going on. And I want to add to that as well. And just in terms of Canada, the quote of the day does go to the Freudian slip from the Prime Minister, Justin Castro. The world today is facing a lot of uncertainty. The rise, he says, of authoritarian leaders causing global instability and the rising cost of living causing stress on the family. Oh, can you believe this
never
bloke?
A truer word. Never a truer word said. It's the first true thing I've heard him say, Justin Castro. Absolutely. The rise of just walk slightly to the left, head to the bathroom and look in the mirror and you can start right there. In the words of Michael Jackson, let's start with the man in the mirror, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the Trump-Biden argy-bargy over these classified documents is something out of the box. This is something that no one expected. But I just want to just track it back a little bit because it was Joy Behar that said on The View that we know that Donald Trump is a liar and a thief and we are living in a world where governments and media are facilitating this gang mentality. The whole idea that now that you get bullied, the name-calling, the slander, I think that bullying is a big part of this. And I just want to give you a little bit of perspective on just how Joy Behar thinks she can get away with it. Rep Andy Biggs out of Arizona has tweeted today that Biden stole classified documents and stored them at his think tank while he was VP. The VP does not have any authority to declassify such documents, and his think tank, you ready for this? They just happened to receive $54 million in funding from the CCP.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want to say it until you said it because I'd read it somewhere and I couldn't remember if it was a legitimate source. But I do remember the CCP putting a lot of money into his think tanks. There's multiple. And of course, this was the CCP and their affiliated corporations who also caused Hunter Biden to leave Beijing on that nice visit on Air Force Two with $1.5 billion in investments for his energy company in California that was sort of one office in Sacramento with a chair and a table. It's absolutely ridiculous. Hunter Biden has no history or experience with energy. And of course, you know, it feels a little bit like as well, it's like Hillary Clinton 2.0, right? Because she had her private server with all these documents on and everything sort of got destroyed and, oh, it doesn't matter. And I think it was one of the leaders from the Democratic Party tweeted a video today and he was stood in front of the flag and on a podium. And he said he actually managed to spin this story. He instead of sort of highlighting that Biden had really done the wrong thing here, he ended the statement by the fact that these were brought forward meant that Biden had done the right thing. And I did tweet him and say, how can you spin him doing the wrong thing to the right thing? And now we learn that it wasn't Biden that highlighted that these documents exist. As you say, it was the lawyers that was something to do with either Biden or the think tank. So, you know, it's one rule for one, it's another rule for the other. It's, you know, this is something we're living with in today's world. And, you know, whether it's news like this about politics or health advice that we've had in the last couple of years, it's like we've all survived the largest, most intrusive human IQ test in the history of the world. And if you're still here, I believe, and you can see sense and you're listening to TNT and hopefully you're not jabbed, then congratulations because you just reached level two.
It is like that, isn't it? I'm thinking of that Steven Spielberg movie that he made, something about Ready Player One or something like that. It does feel more and more like we're living either inside a video game or a simulation because it just can't be real from what we've grown up with to what we know these days. We're going to come up to the news shortly and we're going to open the lines up after the news break. So if you'd like to ring in, now's your chance. You'll hear a phone number coming up. If you're in the US or Canada, you might be asleep, but I'll read you the number, 1-888 1-800-218-201-6425. If you're in the UK and you're getting up for breakfast, make yourself a cup of tea, toast, and give us a buzz. 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, as you're preparing for your evening meal, 1-800-670-310. No better place to have a little bit of entertainment here on TNT. Now, a couple of things that I want to mention based on what you just said then, Nicola, was that the Hillary Clinton story goes all the way back, well, goes back forever, but 2016 when James Comey admitted that she'd broken the law but then let her off. The whole story back then was that she was not only with all the emails, the 33,000 emails, but Comey admitted in front of a committee that she had held classified documents on her private server in the basement of her home in Chappaqua, New York, where they live in this big mansion. And the point was that the researchers at the time were saying, how is it that Bill Clinton goes and gets $150,000 for an hour talk at a dinner in Russia? The Clinton Foundation gets a $100 million donation from some oligarchs, and the next minute you've got a classified document on a server going missing. What were those classified servers? Now, there were people at the time saying that, and including the New York Times, reported that they found special access programs intelligence on that private server. Now, that is like CIA end of stuff. Now, it might not be UFOs or nuclear secrets, but they're special access programs. These are secret things that are going on with massive money behind them, and the only way you could get access was this pay-for-play. That pay-for-play didn't come out of nowhere, and it was Charles Ortel, the accountant that did the forensic examination on the Clinton Foundation and proved, and it never went anywhere, that it was totally illegal. It was only ever set up to build the Clinton Library, and it went on to become this great big political mafia bank account. It's absolutely unbelievable.
And I think the two things that I took from that really stuck out at the time was that she was accessing these classified documents on her BlackBerry. I don't know if you remember that part of the story. And the other thing was that some names were in those documents of Secret Service agents and sort of spies, I guess. And by going about things the way she did, she put their lives at risk. And of course, you could go on and on about how Hillary Clinton has put lives at risk. If you look at Benghazi, her decisions there, what happened to Ambassador Chris Stevens. This is a woman who had no business being the Secretary of State, let alone the President of the free world.
Yeah, well said. We're going to pause for news headlines and come back, and I'm going to get stuck into Donald Trump. I don't do that very often, but I think I've got some reason, and I want to hear what your take is after you hear what I'm going to say about Trump. This is the only place you get to do it for free and speak freely on TNT.
Here's some more potentially bad news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. A top US commander has boasted about setting the stage for conflict around the world and says Washington should use the same playbook it's used in Ukraine against China. Australia's most powerful Catholic Cardinal George Pell, who was convicted and later acquitted of child sex offences, has died in Rome. And a new report has revealed Russian Twitter accounts had no impact whatsoever on the 2016 US presidential election, despite Democrats trying to convince Americans otherwise.
Talk to us and we'll listen. From the US and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
One of the things that I'm particularly concerned about in this whole agenda is the way that we've got the establishment at one end of the spectrum, we've got the Trump MAGA movement at the other end. It seems that Trump won. He won again in 2020. It's disputed, the midterms, etc. But for some reason, I feel like he's spending a lot of his political capital right now. And it was just a bit of a trawl through some social media, some people I hadn't seen pop up on my feed for some time. And I went in and sort of had a look at what they'd been saying. And some of his most ardent supporters are now very much having a crack at him, particularly as it goes with the vaccine. And the reason that concerns me, Nicola, is because if in all of this, if they're completely opposed at everything else and Trump played a very straight bat and Operation Warp Speed, et cetera, if he's pro-vaccine and the system's pro-vaccine, what chance does anyone have if the whole system's going to force you down that path anyway? That's where I have a real problem with it, and that's where a lot of people do. But I do think that there's more to the story, because the one thing that we know about this is he's always said that, even though I'm going to read some quotes that don't suggest it, he's always said it was your choice, and that's what it's always meant, always meant to be your choice. But these are some of the quotes, and I find them disturbing.
Okay.
I recommend taking the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. That was Trump, August 21 in 2021. He says, okay, I hope everyone remembers when they're getting the COVID-19 vaccine that if I wasn't president, you wouldn't be getting that beautiful shot for 5 years at best and probably wouldn't be getting it at all. I hope everyone remembers. That's February 28, 2021.
That's a bit ominous. That's a bit ominous, that one.
Isn't it? Mm, now, why does he say that type of stuff? Why do you think he does?
He's either, I mean, I have to believe, because I actually did support Donald Trump as much as I could on my social media after living in the USA for 7 years. And I believe I lost my career over it, actually. I've only just got my Twitter account back. I was gone for 2 years. I've been allowed back thanks to Elon. Cheers, Elon. I think he is either naive about the reality of what's been done here, and that is possible, because he was always a financial president. He was always a CEO. And, you know, I always told myself, look, if I was interviewing Donald Trump to be my husband, then he wouldn't succeed in that. He wouldn't become my husband because he doesn't have the qualities required. However, if I was interviewing Donald Trump to be the new CEO of a business that I'd started, then I absolutely would put him in that position. So my feeling was he should be the CEO of the USA because so many bad decisions had been made, you know, the usual stuff. It happens to all of us, you know, manufacturing gets sent overseas and, you know, it's all jobless. Look at Detroit. It was decimated. No American cars built in America. And so, I never really was overly concerned with all the, you know, he's a misogynist stuff. Firstly, I'm not very sensitive to that stuff. I wouldn't describe myself as sort of a dude exactly, but I've been told that I'm sort of kind of like a dude. I don't know in today's world if that's a compliment or not. I'm not very sensitive to, you know, a lot of women say, oh, that's misogynistic and sexist and all that stuff. I don't really care that sort of Donald Trump is a sexual animal that likes women. I mean, his wife's pretty hot. Most of his wives were pretty hot. So you have to forgive him for that, because aren't we all, really? I mean, I'm sure not everyone, but most people. And so I wasn't going to hang him high because of that, even though, you know, some off-color remarks were said probably at inopportune moments, and he was a complete doofus for not realizing someone would hit record on their phone. But at the same time, I think at the beginning, I saw in that press briefing room in the White House, I saw him look, you know, he gave Fauci side eye and he was listening to what Fauci was saying. And I could tell, everyone could tell, he didn't trust Fauci. He smelt a rat with Fauci. And I don't know how he went from after that to being okay with it, because the look on his face sort of spoke volumes. And even if you get past that point, we're now 2 years later, so many people are dying suddenly. They're even changing the term. It's not died suddenly, it suddenly dies, or after a short illness, or unexpectedly, because obviously the movie Died Suddenly came out, the documentary, and they want to sort of move away from it because it's huge. I mean, it's huge. Died Suddenly is a bigger brand than Biden at this point. So why isn't he... He's a very smart man. So why isn't he taking that on board? Because you're reading out these quotes here from Donald Trump, and I'm listening to them and I'm taking them on board. I'm seeing 2020, 2021. So part of me is thinking, is it the time frame? You know, 2020, 2021, we had our suspicions, but perhaps we weren't all fully aware that people were just going to drop dead of cardiac issues, you know, from the age of 10 and up. But now it's 2023. So what's Donald Trump saying about the jab? in 2023, and I'm hearing crickets. I'm not hearing much learning about what's gone on from him. And I have to say, for me, I'm waiting with bated breath. You know, where is it, Donald? Where is it?
Yeah, that's the big clincher in all of it, because all these quotes are coming from early on in late 2020 and throughout 2021. Some real shockers in there that make you sort of think, how is it even possible? So say something must have given in all of it. And I look back at this process, and I do wonder, from that first quote that I gave you, you wouldn't be getting that beautiful shot. I mean, could you be any more confirmation bias for 5 years at best, and probably wouldn't be getting it at all? Now, that says to me that he knew that there was an alternate plan to keep everyone into a lockdown that would have destroyed the world. So when you make that point about being the CEO of your company, he's definitely taking a business approach there, and he's saying you can't have this approach. But he has also said some other things. He did always say that the cure can't be worse than the disease. So therefore, he's saying that the vaccine could be bad. And of course, his most famous quote was talking about hydroxychloroquine. Yes, and getting into so much trouble. And of course, when he got COVID early on pre-vaccine, they put him onto some different therapeutics at the time, and he had been having conversations with Dr. Zelenko, who famously had the hydroxychloroquine triple protocol, but went against his treatment and went with another one with those doctors at the particular hospital that the presidents go to. So there's a lot more in all of this, and I really want to know what other people are thinking about it, because when we're going forward here, Nicola, people are going to want to make a decision, aren't they? Because they might have to go through a Republican primary. Do they vote for DeSantis? Do they vote for Trump? And do they vote for a Republican over a Democrat? There is some real decisions to make for our friends over in the US.
Yeah, there are, absolutely. And I, you know, I don't want to say the obvious thing, you know, he's not as bad as the other guy, but that is true. But I think, you know, you just triggered me there with something you said. I'm wondering if, you know, they're very sneaky and very clever, this cabal, the Club of Rome, and everything that they've tried to do over the years to control everyone. I'm just wondering if the plan was for these sort of practice lockdowns, social distancing, social control, really, sort of a dry run, isn't it? You know, it was a dry run on what potentially could be scarily coming down the pipe. So I'm just wondering if they sort of knew once he'd got in, they were probably amazed that he did get in, because I would imagine it was a bit crooked somewhere in that election process. But I'm just wondering if they thought, look, you know, as a redundancy plan, if this guy gets in, then we'll jab them all. Right, because he's not going to want to lock everyone down in their homes. And, you know, even if he does, it won't be for long. So let's get him on board with this other thing, because this could make him look like a hero. And I genuinely believe that Donald Trump felt, and that's why he said these comments, that he was being the conquering hero by bringing the cure. Who wouldn't? You know, if I woke up tomorrow and magically had, you know, dreamt the cure for cancer, I'd be delighted to take it to the world as well. So I just wonder if he was in a constant state of war, almost a constant state of flux with the powers that be. The deep state is what most people call it, the people who really run America, the money, the banks. And he was trying to find a resolution that ensured as much freedom, like actual walk around on the streets, go to work, feel like you have your liberty, freedom, that's so important to Americans. And so that's why he thought, yes, we'll go with the vaccine option. We'll vaccinate everyone and life can go back to normal. Because honestly, that felt like his sentiment when he was speaking there in the press briefing room. So I'd like to believe that's the case. He hasn't said things as outrageous as Biden. I mean, Biden said at the podium, and he was like some awful character from, you know, some wicked horror movie. He said, "We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin." I mean, that was terrifying. Who'd want to do something based on a comment like that?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point, isn't it? That you feel like at that point you are being stood over by some nasty individuals who are determined to make you do what they want you to do, and that somehow that they are elite and you are just one of the peasants at the other end of the line there. It is very, very frustrating when you hear those terms. So I've never considered that perhaps Trump was sort of played into a corner there, that this would have been the backup of the deep state, because nothing happens in politics by accident. So they would have had all these scenarios planned out. And again, this also says to me that for all the people whose dots have already joined and are listening, you'd also be thinking at home then that therefore they must know, they must have had this plan. The idea that they don't know at the very top end, that this is still random, is just a bridge too far for me. I cannot accept it.
I know it's not random, and I can tell you why I know it's not random. I was contacted on my podcast by a gentleman in the USA who works in vaccine manufacturing, just the manufacturing. He's not a scientist. He just works in the pharmaceutical factory, and both my parents worked in pharmaceuticals for 30 years as well. And he was talking about the logistics of producing the billions of glass vials that the vaccines are contained in, and the implementation of filling those vials with anything, a placebo, a COVID jab, or just water. So all of that process, he said, for the many, many billions that have been rolled out, is a minimum activity of 10 years, maximum 25. And that's why he contacted me and said, this is no Operation Warp Speed. This was a long plan. And my heart just sank when he contacted me.
Yeah, wow. And that's the compartmentalization here is another big part of it. The idea that that these leaders are compartmentalized and always promoted to within their level of incompetence is the way that I don't stand on your toes, you don't stand on my toes, and we all just keep this show on the road. And even Trump might have been played a chess game at that point to get into it. But then the alternative must be, therefore, what was his alternative if he said there won't be a vaccine at this point, I don't trust him, and goes into an anti-vaxxer stage? He would have been taken out at that point and mocked and ridiculed to the end of his presidency. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. And hopefully there's enough people that are educated to be able to want to make their own decisions for themselves, regardless of the outcomes in all of it. But the one thing is, once you get it in, you can't really get it out, and that's the scary part of it. And luckily there are scientists that are trying to work on different ways to deal with that. We're going to pause for a break and come back with more here on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
So here's a headline from ABC News. Rise in heart disease may be explained by extreme weather conditions. And then the subheading is, it's not clear why temperature shifts correlated with more heart attacks. You know, you can't make this stuff up anymore. We are now in a climate optimum if you look at the geological scale. That means that life thrives best when it's a little bit warmer. It's not mind-bogglingly warm. In addition, perhaps there was less heart disease back in 1930 when there were only 25% of the people on the planet, yet there was 28 times more climate and weather-related deaths. You want to know something? I think I have the sniffles coming on. Must be climate change. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to take heart and enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
We're at a party. Three little kids were playing in the pool, all under five. Adults were busy talking, glanced over, noticed a little one underwater. I think she needs help. That's how easily something can happen. It only takes a few seconds. Don't worry, the party had a happy ending. But we need to remember, fence the pool, shut the gate. Teach your kids to swim, it's great. Supervise, watch your mate, and learn how to resuscitate. I'm Laurie Lawrence. Kids Alive, do the five.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Jason Oborn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back, and when you hear comments like Joe Biden saying we're losing our patience, and yet here in Australia the same message is given in a different way with our former Prime Minister ScoMo saying, oh, we don't have compulsory vaccination in this country. I mean, meanwhile, every state premier is putting a gun to your head to take it. This is bullying just by a different technique, isn't it?
Yeah. And what worries me is that when you've got the media, the power of the mainstream media, and look, I don't watch or listen to the mainstream media at all. I get my information through more reliable channels. but when you've got that media that, of course, the majority of people watch because it's on their telly box, or as my friend calls it, the lobotomy box. and you've also got government pushing people into sort of tribes, into gangs. It's West Side Story, isn't it? It's the everything they've been doing for years and years. It's why sort of Black Lives Matter eventuated. You know, you've got black versus white, you've got rich versus poor, gay versus straight, female versus male, Republican versus Democrat, left versus right, and it's nonstop. And you have to ask if anyone had your best interests at heart, why on earth would they want people on opposing sides like that? And I think it's because if they keep it busy and they keep us arguing among themselves, we might not look over at what they're doing. And as you mentioned earlier, Joy Behar on The View yesterday, and I sincerely hope that Donald Trump sues her for defamation of character. She said, oh, well, we know that Donald Trump is a liar and a thief. And, you know, these people never mention any other politicians, do they? She never mentions Hillary Clinton. I don't think I've ever divulged on TNT before, but I am really not a fan of the Clintons. I'll try not to go into it too much. But, you know, there's all those memes that go around and people go, ha ha, it's very funny. But, you know, over 50 people that work for Hillary Clinton apparently committed suicide. Well, you know, I'm sorry, that's just numerically, logistically, logically not possible. Yeah. And one of them was her former sort of security guard, and he apparently committed suicide whilst jogging down a street in a very posh area and shot himself in the back of the head twice. I'm not sure how that's possible in a suicide scenario. But, you know, it's all this name calling. You're a conspiracy theorist, a tinfoil hatter, an anti-vaxxer. You know, you're a MAGA person. You're bad. You're far right. Far right was the one. Anyone who doesn't agree with anyone on the left or anyone who doesn't agree with Democrats is far right. And yet everything they're actually implementing in the world is extremely far right, isn't it? Taking away personal freedoms, taking away freedom of speech, freedom to move around, freedom to go to work, bodily autonomy. Isn't that, aren't they sort of acting as if they're far right and then name calling that to everyone else? It just doesn't make any sense. And Dan Andrews himself referenced certain groups, and I thought, oh God, what certain group am I going to end up in?
Yes. It just doesn't end, does it? I mean, my personal background was that I was about as left as you could possibly get. I was a member of the Australian Labor Party for a few years. I'd followed them my entire life.
Interesting. And my decision,
how about that, huh? And and I decided to leave. I'd made some good friends within the party, but I was given an encouraging instruction that I had to support a particular leadership change from the branch end of town. And it was an instruction given to me, and I've mentioned this many times on the show, by a former state MP in New South Wales. And when he told me what was going on, I said, I will not support this leadership change, and this comes directly. And I said it from Eddie Obeid, and I said, Obeid's going to jail. And I was laughed at by this MP and laughed at by the people in the room. I turned around in this branch meeting. I picked up my backpack that had whatever I used to carry with me, and I just walked out like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. I didn't turn my head. I just went straight out the door. I never heard from a single person again from the party, and it was the best decision I ever made. And then,
it was the best decision for you, Jason. But honestly, if that ever happens to you again, just stay and be like a spy in the ranks.
Well, funny you say that, because this is what I'm learning now about some of these techniques, because it was only yesterday when I was listening to you and Darren on Rick's show, and you were talking about Putin being part of the WEF at the time. And yeah. I've been of the opinion that because he is ex-KGB, which means he's a Russian spy, that he would have to have been an infiltrator at that point. And I also believe that Donald Trump acts as an infiltrator as well. He's got form in a number of different areas. He was once, rumored, and probably more than rumored, I think I read a report on it, that he was an FBI informant back in the days of the New York Five crime families. That was Rudy Giuliani brought them down in a RICO case that brought all of the families down. And I believe it was that they were rigging up his casinos for taking evidence and collecting conversations, and that was where the connection was. And of course, he's known to be a Freemason, and the thing about the Freemason story is really interesting, because the one rule of Freemasonry we know is that it's a secret society designed to protect itself and those who are Freemasons. Now, if they're going after Trump right down to Joy Behar, calling him a liar and a thief with millions of people watching, he's not protected. Yeah. He's therefore infiltrated, and they realize he's their enemy. And so there's a lot more to this, and this is the part that's so interesting and so frightening, is the layer upon layer of how this whole network of power works. But then in the tippy top, you go to Davos, and there's Klaus with his bald head telling everyone how to work, and he's a self-appointed Earth CEO. I can't believe how that guy sits at the top of the food chain.
He's a bit of a worm, isn't he? I mean, I think, you know, even if he was going to be the boss up there with WEF, I think he should have been like a silent boss. I think they should have found someone. Saying that, they're not very good at finding people who are good up front, are they? You know, customer friendly, because they sort of chose Biden, Justin Trudeau, and Zelensky over there in Ukraine, and I don't find any of them very likable. On the upside, I think The View only has about 12 viewers left. It's just that it was such a funny clip, it went viral, which I guess helped them. But as I've said before, I genuinely believe that the World Economic Forum is sort of the Club of Rome rebranded. And then when they sort of invite these politicians over, don't forget, okay, I think something it's important to remember is that politicians usually come from working or middle-class families. Now, they might start off their journey in politics, as my husband did when he had a crack at the Senate last year. Mm. They might start off in politics very ideological, honest, and wanting to help and wanting to change things for the better. And what I learned on the trail out there, you know, doing town halls and stuff with my husband, who was running with the Informed Medical Options Party, is that politics isn't for people like that. Politics is for people from the working and middle classes who go in and then get totally starstruck, I think would be the correct word, with the sort of money that can sponsor and fund their futures. And so when you've got these very powerful money people, the banks, the construction guys, the people that really run this place, mingling with them and vying for 10 years for construction contracts, like for this new place, Merrifield, which is Micklehem adjacent. I think they get very affected by meeting the money. And then if you take them to the next phase where you actually fly them to Davos, because you think, oh, here's another one who can implement what we want to do on a local level. And that's how they've done it. Even if you go to the World Economic Forum website and look at that horrible thing that actually looks like the spike protein from the coronavirus, and look at all the pins that come off, and you know, they take over banking and media and healthcare and television and movies and all that stuff. They tell you how they're going to take over the world. It's one of the most important values that they say matters for this Agenda 21 and Agenda 30 is the local level. So they're trying to get people, you know, Dan Andrews is local, I guess, but he is a state premier. That's big local. So, you know, if you can get someone like that on board, and then you do all the lovely cuddly things, which makes it look like he's a hero, like let's get rid of all those annoying train crossings that cause traffic jams and make life more livable in the city. What they didn't tell you when they didn't finish the sentence was because you're going to be trapped in this city for the rest of your life and you're going to be surveilled and monitored by a really scary system that we're going to install while you're all locked down. And so, you know, on the surface, if you look at all the little bits, oh, you know, he said this week, we're giving baby packages to the smallest Victorians that are being born. And a friend of mine wrote underneath on Facebook, oh, yeah, indoctrinating them from birth, eh?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, the very first 15-minute city was in the Truman Show, right?
Yes. Oh, don't. Please don't scare me, Jason. That's exactly what's happening. And it's not a joke. Like, it's actually happening.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, I found a meme that someone had said, it's anonymous, hasn't got a name attached to it. It says 99.9% of people don't know what smart city means. It doesn't mean smart as in intelligent, clever, or of good thinking. SMART is an acronym. S for surveillance, M for monitoring, A for analysis, R for reporting, and T for technology. Make note of this and critically contemplate the pros and cons. Mm. It's something else, isn't it, when you think that we are just being corralled into being the property and the ownership of a group of self-appointed people who operate above the law.
Around.
And this is probably the biggest thing out of all, because I wonder, out of all of what, when we go back to this beginning of this conversation, Trump never wanted to be president of the United States. He certainly doesn't want to remain president. I think he wants to clean the joint out, and he wants to put some young, new way forward in what I would determine would be the age of Aquarius, the horizontal dissemination of information, free transparency and opportunity, and then walk away and retire and enjoy the last 10 or years, whatever he's got left with his family. I think that that's really what it's all about. And so I think we need to focus sometimes on the end game in all of it, and what they're doing is the exact opposite.
If he wants to be a hero, Jason, if Donald Trump really wants to be a hero, he needs to find a way, and obviously it doesn't need to come directly from him. He needs to find a way to let us know why. No offense, but we're not that interesting. Why do we need to be surveilled? In the old days, you would need what's that thing you get from a court? You would need a document from a court to say that we have to have to be surveilled. How come we don't need warrants anymore? Why? No one's answering that question.
That's the best question of the day. Well done, Nicola. I'm going to vacate the chair, which I'm keeping warm for Rick. He's going to jump in a moment. Nicola's going to stay on, and the rage will continue after the break on the one and only TNT Radio. Thanks, Nicola. Great show.